Well, it's January the 7th. How many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? How many of you have already broken them? And keeping them so far? You know, easier to just not make any New Year's resolutions than make them and break them, isn't it? But you know, that's the thing that we do so many times is we make a resolution or a decision that we're going to do something, and then we don't follow through with it. Or we come upon a trouble. And so, what do? We give up and we say, well, I'll make another New Year's resolution next year. Instead of just pressing on. We say, okay, well, I didn't accomplish it as well as I wanted to, but I'm going to just start back again. Why do we think we have to wait until next year? Why can't we just resolve to do better from now? That's the idea that we want to talk about today. Pressing on. If you stumble, do you just quit? If you get behind, do you just give up? Or do you keep plugging along, working toward finishing the race? And that's the thing that we have to realize as Christians. We can't give up just because we sinned once. Now I remember, I see Quan up here, he just baptized this morning and starting out his new life, and I remember when I did that, and I've talked to the young people about this. I wasn't ever going to sin again. There was not ever going to be a sin in my... Never again. I think that lasted until school the next day. You know, I mean, I was baptized on a Wednesday night. It lasted all the time I was sleeping, you know. And then the next morning, that was the end of that. Well, you know, we all did it. You know, we said, well, I'm going to be the best Christian I can be. And then we make a mistake. We sin. And what do? Do we just say, well, there's just something else I couldn't do, and I'm going to quit and go back to my old way of doing things? No, we say, well, okay, I messed up this time, but I'm going to get it right next time. I'm going to do better. That's the idea of pressing on. We keep on going despite the difficulties, despite the troubles, despite the mistakes. And I think about that with my Bible reading. Trying to read through the Bible in the year. You know, and you look at that and you think, whoo, that's a lot to read all year long. And maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe halfway through, I miss a day. You know, something big is going on that day, and it just, everything happens, and I just forget it that day. But what do? Am I going to say, well, start again next year? No, I just pick up where I left off. Now, sometimes, you start doing something like that, and you get slack, and you get a week behind. And then you're looking at, well, not only do I have to read today's, but I got to read all of this from last week. That's 14 chapters in Leviticus, and then I've got to read 4 more chapters in the book of Hebrews, and how am I going to do all of that? And he said, that's just too much, so I'll quit. Well, it'd be better to just start back again on that day, and you pick that other up another time, maybe. But instead of quitting, just start from where you are and keep going. And that's the thing that we have to work on. Because it is easy to want to quit. I see it with Xander a lot. He's learning how to do lots of new things. Kids do that, you know. Starts when they start learning how to walk. Starts, I guess, really before that. But you start really noticing when they start trying to walk and they get up and they're wobbly and they fall down. Well, what if the first time they fell back down, they said, that walking thing is too hard. I'm just going to quit trying to do that. And they just crawled the rest of their life. Imagine 40-year-old fellow crawling around everywhere because he never learned to walk because he gave up because it was too hard. That'd be ridiculous. We'd never imagine that happening. And yet, when they get a little older, we start learning the idea, well, I'll just give up. It's just too hard. Xander tells me that all the time. We're trying to learn a new game or something like that. It's just too hard, Daddy. I can't do it. Remember, I was trying to teach him how to jump. He wanted to jump, but he was scared to do it. And I was trying to teach him to jump. And it's too hard. And so I said, well, okay, we'll try again a little later on, maybe you'd be a little better. And we kept trying and trying. Eventually, he got to where he could jump, didn't he? He can jump now. And you ask him after church, he'll show you. He'll jump all over this auditorium. And jump on you and on top of everybody else and everything if you let him. He likes to jump now, but at the time, he was scared. It was too hard. Well, there are a lot of things like that where God knows that we can do something, and He's got it there in His plan for us. But we say, it's too hard. I can't do that, God. I want to quit. You think about the things that Paul has set before him. When Paul was converted, when he became a Christian, the Lord said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, he's never said that about any of us, but he said that about Paul. Wouldn't it have been easy? Paul said, oh no, I'm not going to suffer. That's too hard. I'll just forget about it. I'm not going to do it. But he didn't do that. He made the determination, if that's the path God has set for me, and that's what I deserve for having mistreated the church and have persecuted Christ, then I'm going to put up with it. I'm going to make it through. If I have a thorn in the flesh, His grace is sufficient for me. He said so. I'm going to make it through. All of these things. In Philippians 3, verses 8 through 16, Paul says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, and righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. We want to know Him and we want to know the power of His resurrection, but a lot of times we want to skip that fellowship of His sufferings part. We don't want any part of that. We'll just leave that off. And then he says, being conformed to His death. Do we want that? Well, we're going to have that in the spiritual sense. We've got to die to the world if we want to make it to heaven. And he goes on to say, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So he says, there's a level that we've already attained. Don't go backwards, but from that level now, press forward. Go on toward the goal. We have to have a goal. We've got to have something to press toward. Has been said, I believe it's on your sheet, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And it's so true. We've got to have a goal in life, or we'll never accomplish anything. He says, I press on. You know, the word press indicates some effort being put in there, doesn't it? It's not just I wandered in the general direction of the goal and hope to make it there. But this is the idea. You ever watch a football game and watch a running back or a receiver who has the ball and that's determined to score? You ever watch them? I mean, it looked like they could get hit by a train and they'd keep going. Because they're determined to make it to that goal. And sometimes one of those players just gets it. I'm going to score this time. And they do it. And nobody and nothing can stop them. Because they've got it in their mind. I'm going to make it to that line right there and I'm going to get across it. They've got a goal. And they know where that goal is. They can see those big orange posts sticking up on either side of the field to know how far they've got to get. That's the idea of pressing on. We don't let the first little thing that comes up against us stop us. We must keep on keeping on until we attain our goals of perfection or until we die. There's no, well, you know, I'm doing good enough, so I'll just stop right here. And I've grown enough. I'm okay. I'll just stay right here where I am. This is comfortable for me. There's none of that in the Christian life. We keep pressing on. We keep growing. We keep striving for that perfection. Now, if you ever reach perfection, you can stop, okay? I'll make that deal with you. If you ever become perfect, then you can stop. But it's not going to happen to you or to me. Jesus is the only one that ever reached that perfection. But that's our goal. That's what we keep working toward. But well, I'm not perfect like Jesus, so I might as well quit and give up. No, we got to keep trying again. Keep that goal before us. Keep working for it. Keep reaching for it. He says there in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He knows he's not perfect. Hard for some people to believe. Some people worship Paul as though he were perfect. He wasn't perfect, and he admitted he wasn't perfect. He knew he wasn't perfect. He hadn't already reached the goal he had set for himself, but he kept growing. He kept trying. And that's what we've got to do. Then the second part of that, I press on toward the goal. You know, if we're pressing on, but in the wrong direction, we're going from side to side instead of forward, or if we're turning around and running backwards instead of going toward the finish line, that's not going to accomplish a whole lot, is it? You ever seen folks that do that? Boy, they are busy nonstop 24 hours a day, but they're never getting anywhere. They're just going. But they're not going anywhere. They just run around here to there and back and forth, and boy, they really got it going on. But by the end of the day, they hadn't accomplished anything. Not anything of any consequence anyway. Oh, they may have heard all of the best gossip of the day, and they may have got their hair fixed, and they may have gotten meddled in somebody's business over here and done this over here. But they haven't headed toward any kind of goal. I guess maybe that is their goal in life, just to hear all the gossip and meddle in other people's business. Some people, that is their goal. But that doesn't need to be our goal. Our goal needs to be to make it to heaven. Goals are necessary. If you don't have goals in your life, you'll never be able to tell if you're a failure. Maybe that's why so many people don't want to set goals. They're afraid they won't reach them. But you know, not reaching the goals is not what makes you a failure. Not in life. Oh, in sports, that makes people failure. You know, you lose the game if you don't score enough points. That's the way games work. But in life, it's the effort that we put into it, the attitude that we put toward it, and the striving for that goal that makes us successful. We may not reach all of our goals, but if we're setting sensible goals, we're going to reach some of them. As I think about these goals, and I think about the church for this past year, we set some goals at the beginning of the year. We didn't reach all of them, but we surpassed some of them. So we're going to set some more goals this year, and we're going to try again. You know, the elders already told us one of the goals is for everybody to study with somebody this year. Another goal is to practice church discipline and clean the church up, purify the church. Another is, of course, that we keep growing, that we keep converting others, that we keep having baptisms, but not just dunking people in the water, but actually converting them to Christ so that they can grow as faithful members of the church. Well, we have those goals. We have generally have tried to set a goal of 10 baptisms a year. And I want to tell you something. We haven't reached that goal yet. Not a single year have we reached that goal. But we have more baptisms because we set a goal to strive for than we would have had if we hadn't been trying. We'd have just said, well, it doesn't matter if anybody's baptized. Let's not worry about it. Some years we've had 3, some years we've had 5, some years 7, some years 9. We hadn't quite made it to that 10 yet. Maybe this year's the year. But if you don't set a goal, you're never going to reach anything. We've got to think about a goal. Think of it as a target. And you're aiming for that target. You know, you're shooting a gun or a bow and arrow, or and you're aiming for that target. And right in the bullseye is the 100. That's 100%. Reach the goal. That's what you're aiming for. But in those circles around are 80 and 60 and 40 and 20 and maybe 10 and then nothing out on the outside of the target. Now, you know, you never aim for the 10. You just don't aim for that. I'm going to try to get 10. Now, you always aim for the 100 in the middle. That's the center of the target's what you're aiming for. Always trying to hit 100. But sometimes, well, most of the time, for me anyway, I miss that 100. But I may hit the 80 or the 60 or the 40 or the 20. And that's better than if I hadn't aimed at the target at all and just shoot my arrow or shoot my gun off in some other direction. We're going to hit the target. Well, we need to think about that. Someone once said, "I would rather attempt to do something great for God and fail than to do nothing and succeed." You know, if we try to do something great for God, we may not always get it done. But we've made that effort. We've tried to do something great. You think about the task the apostles had. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a goal for 12 guys. 12 of you. Now I want y'all to go and preach to every creature. Good luck. Work on that. These guys had a job to do. They had a goal set before them. Was one of them going to do it all by himself? No. In fact, those 12 couldn't do it all by themselves. They had to pull Paul in there. Jesus, you know, got Paul. Paul said, "I was as one born out of season." But he got in there and worked too. And boy, he went a lot of places and preached the gospel to a lot of people. And we have a lot recorded about what Paul did. But don't you think those other guys were doing something too? We don't have records of it in the scriptures of all the things that they all did. But you know those guys were out there preaching the gospel. And what's more, as they preached, they were teaching those individuals to go on and spread it further. So that in that first century, in less than 50 years, Paul was able to write that the gospel had been preached to the whole world. Now, that's a good goal for the church to set again in this generation. Let's preach the gospel to the whole world. There are a lot of people who have been born who've never heard the gospel. Make that a goal again for the church. And I know a lot of missionaries that are working on that. We've got the church has now its own television network that's working toward that, spreading the gospel to anyone who can pick it up on a satellite TV. You know, there are radio programs, there are pamphlets and tracts, and like we send out the house to house to let people see that the gospel's there. They can get it if they want it. Make it available. In this world today, with all of the mass media that we have at our disposal, compared to what the apostles had, that's a goal that the church should be able to accomplish. Now, can the church here do that everywhere in the world? No. But we can take care of our county. We can make sure that the gospel is spread here, that everybody here has the opportunity to obey the gospel. We've got to remember, too, that we must think about what our goal is. Paul said he pressed toward the goal. What was his goal? Was he trying to get a big fancy house? A nice chariot? New set of horses? No. That wasn't what he was after. Success does not necessarily mean that we earn a great deal of money or that we live in the biggest, nicest house. It means that we are daily striving toward our goal of being faithful Christians. And I can be a faithful Christian and be homeless. Jesus was. He was homeless, and yet He saved the world. I can be a faithful Christian and not have a penny to my name. There were Christians in the first century who had to have other Christians give them money to live on at times. They didn't have any money, but they could still be faithful to God. Money doesn't make us faithful. Things don't make us faithful. So we've got to be striving toward our goal. And then, of course, he says, toward the goal for the prize. It's a prize. Paul's goal was to reach the resurrection. That's what he describes as the prize. He wanted to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And not just, everybody's going to be resurrected on that last day. Well, we know Paul didn't want to just get up so he could be lost. He was hoping for heaven. That was his goal. Not just to be in the general resurrection, but he wanted to be in the resurrection of the righteous. And so Paul's goal was the resurrection, the prize, eternal life. Wow, what a prize. That's something working for. And of course, he said that he had not yet reached his goal. He hadn't yet reached perfection. And for all of us, heaven is still in the future. We can't think, I got it. I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's mine. That's what the Calvinistic doctrine teaches. That once you're saved, you're always saved. And you can't lose it. You're going to be in heaven and there's nothing that can happen to change that. But Paul knew better than that. He knew that as long as he was still alive, he could forfeit that prize. As long as he lived, he could reject God and turn away from Him and lose that opportunity to make it to heaven. But he knew that that prize was there, and it was there for everyone who was willing to strive for it. The wonderful thing is not limited to only 50 or only 100 or only 144,000, as one religious group says. No, it's not limited. Everyone, as many as the Lord our God shall call, can all come. And there's room for them all. But then, of course, it is the upward call of God. So we don't get to pick the goal. We can't just say, well, my goal is this and that. Our goal is the upward call of God. It's the call that God has made to each and every one of us to come up to Him, to reach His level. As Jesus said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's a call. Preachers are, oh, I was called by God. Yeah, we're all called by God. We're called to be perfect. That's a call. Not many people even try to answer that call. That's something to work toward. We're also called to be faithful. We can reach faithfulness even if we don't necessarily reach that perfection. But God wants us to be constantly growing, improving. As we think about this year, we need to each think about some ways that we can be better Christians this year than we were. And I know in the prayer it's that we'll be better Christians this year than we have in the past or than we were last year. That's good. But each of us individually, I can't just pray, well, Lord, help me to be a better Christian. I've got to think specifically, okay, Lord, how did I let you down last year? What can I do this year that I didn't do last year? See, there are two sides of it. It could be that there's something I did last year that I shouldn't have that I need to stop doing. Or it could be that there was something that I wasn't doing last year that I need to start doing. So it could be I need to get rid of some things out of my life, and it could be that I need to add some things into my life to be a better Christian. I can't answer that for you. I don't know what you need to add or take out of your life necessarily. Now, obviously, if we talked for a while, I could probably help you find some things. But I know what I need to do and what I need to get rid of. I can figure that out for me. And you can figure that out for you. You know if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Get it out of your life. You know if you were really neglectful about last year that you need to do better about this year. Now, maybe it was assembling with the saints. Maybe it was your Bible study. Maybe it was your prayer life. Maybe it was helping others. It may have been a number of things. But you know what it is. And you need to determine, I'm going to reach for that upward calling. God wants me growing. He wants me improving. And this year, this is the area I'm going to start focusing on. If I do good at this one, then I can always add another one to try to work on. Sometimes it's important for us not to try to do everything at once. You know, when Peter says, add to your faith, add to your virtue, add to your knowledge, add brother kindness, go charity. Notice he's adding one thing to another thing. You do the one, and then you add the next one on it, and then you do the next one, and then you add the next one on it. He didn't say, okay, starting tomorrow, do all these things. No. He said, okay, you start here. You've got your faith. Okay, now let's add to that. And you add this to it. And then you didn't add something else. Work on it one step at a time. You never see somebody stand at the bottom of a stairwell and jump to the top. Unless it's only two or three steps. If it's a full story of steps, you're not going to find somebody just standing at the bottom and then they just take one step to the top. They've got to take all the steps, or at least a lot of those steps in between. And that's the way it is as Christians. We can't just go from here to perfection. We've got to stair-step it along the way. One step at a time. God wants us to be in heaven with Him. He's not asking us to do more than we can do, and He's going to reach out with His love and with His mercy and His grace to help us all He can. But He wants us striving for that. He's not going to drag somebody kicking and screaming into heaven, but if somebody's reaching for Him, He's going to reach down and take your hand and help you. And I mean that in a figurative sense. He's not going to literally grab your hand and pull you up. But if you're reaching for heaven, He's going to help. If you're trying to go the other way, He's not going to grab you by the ankles and drag you up there. That's crazy. But then, of course, we must also, as we look at the last of that phrase, in Christ Jesus. That's, of course, where we must be for any of this to make any sense at all. We've got to be in Christ Jesus. The upward call is for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's calling Christians to heaven, calling Christians to be with Him. If you're not a Christian, you've got to first become a Christian before you can get any closer to heaven. Somebody mentioned Oprah Winfrey earlier. All of the good deeds that she could possibly do won't mean anything if she's not a Christian. Now, I know those people who get an education, it'll make their lives better and those kind of things, yes. But what difference does it make if they're lost? I don't care. If I get a PhD and make millions of dollars and then die lost, what's that accomplished? What good has been done? That's not good. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3 tells us. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's only in Christ that we receive the spiritual blessings. Of course, we talked about the physical blessings, the sunshine and the rain and all of those things that fall on the just and the unjust. But the spiritual blessings are for those of us who are in Christ. Another wonderful thing about being in Christ Jesus is as long as we're in Christ, there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation. Now, if I leave Christ, then I'm going to face condemnation again. But as long as I'm in Christ, there's no condemnation. God will never condemn me as long as I'm in Christ. Now, a lot of people are confused and think they're in Christ and they're not. And they're going to be condemned. But if I'm truly in Christ, God's not going to condemn me. And then, of course, eternal life is in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And again, a lot of people think they're going to have eternal life without being in Christ, because they haven't been baptized into Christ. And yet they think they're going to have eternal life not without Christ, not outside of Christ. You've got to have that in Christ Jesus. The phrase "in Christ" is used 87 times in the New Testament, and other forms of the phrase are used another 20 times. So over 100 times the Bible refers to being in Christ. And this idea of the importance of it. Are you in Christ? God wants you to be. And it's up to you. If you are in Christ, are you pressing toward heaven? Is heaven your goal? Or are you still thinking worldly minded, still thinking fleshly thoughts, and still focusing on this physical world? And your goals are all, well, I want to pay my bills this month. Well, I want to get a better car. Well, I want to get a new outfit to wear to church. Well, I want... What are your goals? Are they physical goals? Or do we have spiritual goals? Are you living a life that shows that you want to be in heaven as much as God wants you to be in heaven? If not, there's some corrections you need to make this year. You don't have to wait till next January 1st to start it. You can start today. And if you stumble before tomorrow, you can start again tomorrow. You don't have to give up just because you stumble along the way. You get up and you go again. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.